Tree Bible Church for allowing us to come and share with you. You know, it made me think, as we were spending time in worship and song and in communion, that there's a lot of places in the world that don't get to do this. And so we're all privileged in the sense that we live in a country that has freedom to express our faith and to be able to share with others. And so a well-known pastor, I'm sure you might have heard of him, his name is John Piper, he said, missions exist because worship doesn't. And so that's just to say that in other parts of the world, where we as missionaries are privileged to get to go and help people to come to know Christ, come to have faith in Him, and to spend time worshiping Him in their daily lives. And so we get the opportunity to do that. So I'm going to share a couple of slides with you. Let's see. There we go. So my name is Charles, and this is my wife, Bridget. And we've had the privilege of serving in missions for about 19 years now. And we're thankful to God for that. And so in this slide, I have a couple of, I'm going to step over on this side so I can see it better. Yeah, it's okay. And but anyway, I'm going to stand over here so I can talk to you from this direction. So we've been serving since about 2004. And from 2004 to 2011, we were support workers for the Fong Bible Translation of Equatorial Guinea. So Equatorial Guinea, if you don't know, is Africa's only Spanish-speaking country. So my wife can tell people that she learned how to speak Spanish in Africa. And not very many people can say that. My children as well, so we're thankful for that. But as support workers for the Bible Translation, we worked with doing several different things. I worked in training church leaders, and my wife worked in what we call literacy. And a very important part of Bible translation is also teaching the people how to read and write their own language. If you can believe it, they've never had their language written before. They don't even know how to write it. They don't understand the grammar. So the missionaries that go and do Bible translation, part of what they do is they learn the language, they sit there, they go out in the jungle, and they watch the people, how they speak. And they look at their mouth, and they try to understand how they pronounce their words and everything. And so a big part of it is just trying to understand how a person makes those sounds. And they have a way to write that down. That's called a phonetic alphabet. And they do that alphabet, and they put it down. And then a person like Bridget, who has studied what we call literacy, she takes that and helps develop the alphabet. And then she learns to speak the language herself. And then she starts teaching people how to read and write their own language. So when the New Testament comes out, when the Bible comes out, they're able to read it and have God's word in their language in a written form so they can read it. And then there's oral cultures too that don't have their language written. And so sometimes we as missionaries have to go and share the word of God with them and maybe have a translator and be able to tell Bible stories of the Bible, and they learn that way through oral storytelling. But we were support workers helping the translators with that. And then from 2012 to 2016, we moved to another mission organization in the Seattle area. So we went from Africa to Seattle, and we worked in that office for several years, and I did IT support, and my wife did administration. And then we were able to, from there, get sent to Uganda, and we went and worked on the field for 1 year in Uganda, where we actually ran the country, the ministry there. So we did a lot of administration, and we worked with orphans, and we had a children's ministry, a school, and we also did some pastoral leadership development. And then from 2017 to present, Bridget is now in a new role, which is called Member Care. And that's just basically a way that we say in the missionary community how we take care of our missionaries. So she works in a part of the ministry in taking care of other missionaries. And also in mobilization. And mobilization is something that we really love. Who knows what mobilization is? Has anybody ever heard that word? Mobilization is when we, as missionaries, come to churches like this or Bible schools or even places where Christians gather, and we try to encourage other people to be part of the Great Commission, to take that calling that God has given us to go and preach the gospel, not only here where we live, but also across the sea. So it's not that you have to be a missionary overseas. as a what we call a cross-cultural worker, but you can do it here in your own place. Acts 1:8 tells us, you know, you're Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. So your ministry begins here. We need to tell people the gospel here where we live, where we work, in the schools where we're at, with our families, and then even out to other places. Maybe you travel to a different state, or maybe you go out of the country, and maybe even God would lead you to other parts of the world to share the good news and to be a disciple maker. How many have heard the word disciple maker? Yeah. 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul tells Timothy, "The things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, this entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And so we have the opportunity to go and share the gospel where we're at and even across the world. And then over these last couple of years, when we came back from Uganda in 2017, and Bridget continued into member care and immobilization, and I started working at Dallas Theological Seminary, working in IT, and I was also working on my master's degree in intercultural studies, and also I take short-term trips for disciple training. And so, like Pastor Tim said, the last time we were here was 5 years ago, and a lot has changed. And we were talking with Pastor Tim yesterday, and just the world has changed. Many different things, of course, as you know, with the COVID and everything. But we got to spend time with Bridget, got to spend time in Europe, going to Austria, UK, Spain, Czech Republic, Ukraine. Then later on, she got to go to Latin America, Costa Rica, Panama, Colombia, Mexico. Again, Bridget got to go to Asia, Africa in 2019, South Africa, Zambia, Malawi, Uganda, Nepal, Bangladesh, and India. And actually today, if you'll get to see her, she's dressed in a traditional Bangladesh outfit. And I'm wearing a African shirt from Sierra Leone. And then I got to go to Liberia in 2019 and help with the ministry there. And then Bridget and I went to Ecuador in 2019. And she also went in 20. And then she goes to Seattle every year for our mission to go and do orientation and help new missionaries get on the field. And then I went to Sierra Leone in 2021, just this last November. So do you want to come up and share about this, Bridget? I'm going to have my wife come up here and share with you a little about some of her trips. And one of the reasons that we take these trips is because as mobilizers, as missionaries helping to train and care for other missionaries, when this is her part of her ministry. She cares for other missionaries, specifically missionary women, and specifically even single missionary women. And my wife has just been amazing at this, and God has really used her. Because as missionaries, when they're out in the field, sometimes they get lonely and they don't have people that they can confide in and those kind of things. And so as part of her ministry, she goes and spends time with them. She'll take even another young missionary woman with her as a mentee to show them what it's like to be in other countries and to work with other missionaries. And sometimes they'll do a project helping with a vacation Bible school or something like that. So it's really an amazing ministry, and I'm just so thankful for the way God's been using her in that. So I'm going to let her share now.
Is my microphone on?
Oh, yeah, you're using that one, okay.
I mean, if it's easier, I can use this one because I'm not going to move around that much, but I guess I'll hold this. Okay, so anyway, so my first trip as the International Coordinator for Women. All right, then I'll just, I'll just use this one.
We'll just use that one. There we go. So anyway, I became the International Coordinator for Women back in 2015 and did not get to do much with it until 2017 when we returned here. And luckily, my donors and supporters were able to help me to go on these trips to support these women. Most of my trips, I generally focus on one or two single women, but if there's other missionaries around, I will go and visit them and encourage them and love on them as well. So just to show you, here is my first trip when I went to to Europe and Latin America. And I just want to mention Ukraine. You see the lady under that sign in the where she's the ocean. So she has been a missionary in Ukraine for 16 years, and she is now a refugee in Poland. And I've been talking to her daily, or not daily, but two or three times a week. She ministers to women who've been on the street and their kids, and she's basically gotten a grandma that she's been taking care of for years, and she said, I am not leaving them. So a group of about 10 of them, she started in Odessa, which is in the eastern part, and they moved to western Ukraine for a while. But then our mission said, no, you need to get out of Ukraine. And so they went to Poland, and so now they are refugees in Poland. I have to tell you, member care has been such a blessing, and I just pinch myself every time I get to go on these trips because it's so amazing to just go and love on these missionaries. When I went to go see Lisa, she just started crying. She's like, nobody understands. Now you're going to see and you're going to understand, so you can go and tell other people about what I do. Because she goes, she's not good at writing those newsletters and things. So she says, you can go and tell people about it. And she's been doing a wonderful ministry. I mean, her ministry was actually blown up in 2014, but she continued on. And these are the kind of women that I'm working with. They continue to serve the Lord no matter what. And it's been such a privilege to be able and just go love on our people. In Action International Ministries, we have a team of about 10 missionaries. Some are pastors who have counseling, they have counseling experience, but they've never been overseas. But then we have missionaries like me who've been overseas. And some missionaries would prefer to hear from us than the others because you understand, you've been there, you've done that. So it's just been a privilege. Yeah, it's too much. It's too much. we'll just go back and forth on this one. So anyway, just again, different places I've been. There's Spain, Panama. Just again, loving on these people. But what I want to tell you is the leader of our member care team, he says, member care, 90% of it is just showing up. And, when Charles and I were on the field, we only had one person come and see us the 7 years we were there. And it was wonderful. Because you're working hard, you're away from home, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, but it's just wonderful to have a familiar face come and see you. So again, I'm just going to show you all these people that I've gone to see, all the different places I've been, 16 different countries in 2018 and 2019. Crazy. I'm going to tell you about the lady in the middle. So if you see, there's a lady with the long orange hair. She was my person that came with me. So yeah, I'm always taking somebody with me just because they're either a friend or maybe they're going to get into ministry like this some or whatever. But we went to India, Bangladesh. Like I said, I don't even have a picture of the people in Bangladesh that they gifted this to me. They were so grateful that I came to visit them. They said, we want to go buy you an outfit. I mean, how wonderful is that? Such a blessing. But this lady in the middle, her name is Susan. Her and her husband are from India. They went to Canada. They had very good jobs in Canada. But then he said, I feel like the Lord's telling us to go back to India. And she fought it. And she's like, I don't want to go back. But they went back. And as they were just kind of doing ministry a little bit, he was beaten for being a Christian. But she said, I knew then that we had to be back in India. Well, 3 years ago, as they were doing ministry, he was thrown in jail. They basically do ministry to young kids that come to their place. They even kept the kids there. They were discipling them and stuff like that. They came and kidnapped all the kids, took him to jail. And she had to deal with all by herself. So when I was there, she got to talk about this whole, she'd never gotten to talk to anybody about this before. So I was able to have her just talk about what happened during all this. So that's the kind of ministry I get to do. It's just, it's an awesome privilege. So now it's your turn.
So as I was telling you, I work at Dallas Theological Seminary and I do IT support. So back in April of 2019, I get this letter from one of our professors there, and he's getting ready to work in Liberia to start a seminary there. And they had sent a container with many Bible books for the seminary library. And I saw this email, and somehow God piqued my curiosity about this. And so being loving to make sure that the pastors and church leaders in developing countries have resources like Bibles and good material to study and read. I was very interested in what was going on there. So I just wrote this professor's name is Dr. Rick Kallenberg, and he actually used to work in Nigeria. But anyway, so I just sent him an email and I said, hey, Dr. Kallenberg, I don't know if you remember me. My name's Charles. I work at the seminary. I've worked on his computer many times. And I said, hey, if you ever need any help with computers or something like that, let me know. Immediately, I get this email back from him. An email says, call me now. Gives me his phone number. So I'm like, okay, that was kind of interesting. So I called him, and he said, this is what he told me. He said, you will not believe what just happened. He said, I was on the phone, or I was visiting with people from Liberia, the government, and as we're getting ready to start our school, they told me, he said moments ago, that we cannot give you a license to start the school until you have a computer lab and a library. And that's exactly what I had written him about. And so I said, okay, so what? How can I help you? What can we do? So immediately we started making plans about how we could get this going. And so from April into August, I had to learn about library science in the digital age, which I was not really aware of. And I also had to start finding equipment for them and all this kind of stuff. So after many logistical challenges, I was able to go to Liberia. And one of the things you forgot to do was to get our visa in order. And so I went one Saturday to the airport, and I was going to go for about a week and a half to Liberia. And I get to the airport with all this luggage and all this equipment, and a lady says, where's your visa? And I said, well, I'm going to get it when I get there. Because usually when you go to Africa, you can go on a tourist visa, and you get it when you enter the country. And she said, no, Liberia's changed their laws. You have to apply for a visa, and it can take anywhere from 6 to 3 months. So I got turned away at the airport. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. So we use this thing called WhatsApp on our phones. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but it's an application on your cell phone that you can basically call anybody in the world for free. And so we use that a lot to communicate. So I called Dr. Kallenberg from DFW Airport, and I said, hey, I can't go because I messed up on the visa. And he said, okay, let me find out some information. So he calls me back about half an hour later. He says, okay, you're going to have to, you know, expedite this. And because I had to go because there was a time limit and everything, a lot of details. But if you want to know more, I can talk with you later after the service in the back and tell you the whole story. It's amazing. But basically, I end up going a week later, and I only went to Liberia for 3 days. In that 3 days, we were able to set up the computer lab. We were able to set up the library. We were able to train another African young man in how to maintain the equipment and also train the staff and the faculty on how to use the equipment. And God just did an amazing, wonderful miracle. It was a miracle. And then they were able to start their seminary classes that very next to Labor Day. And so, wow, it's just an amazing trip. And so here in this picture, you see me working on a little computer server. And then there at the bottom, you see Dr. Kallenberg and his wife there in the, as I was doing training with them. And then this young man, Washington, was the guy that I trained to maintain the equipment, and they're still doing it today. And so now we're working with them to develop a new website and a learning platform. And so a lot of things I'm doing now in technology is helping with websites and learning platforms. Learning platform is what the school uses virtually to connect the students from all over the world or different places in the continents that they're at so that they can do their classes online. And so helping to develop that as we start getting into modernization of training leaders from all over the world.
Something you didn't mention was that if he actually would have gone when he was supposed to, there was no electricity or anything that he could have worked on anyway. So it was all in perfect God's perfect timing that he went on that trip. Again, just a quick, this was my trip to Africa, where I got to see a lot of wonderful missionaries. Did you know Norma Cadell? Okay, she was a fellow missionary that was at Waxahachie, the same church we were at, and served in Uganda many years, and I asked her if she wanted to come because she wanted to go visit all the people back in Uganda. So we both ministered in the same place in Uganda, so she came with me, and she said, I'll go with you all those other places, but can we go to Uganda? I'm like, of course, let's go. So we did and had a wonderful trip. And then my partner in the Ecuador trip was Charles. And we got to go and see the three different missionary families there in December of 2019. So again, just what happens when I go? Again, I get to just listen to their stories, their struggles, their joys. I get to see and do ministry with them. I get to pray with them and for them, which I do. That's what I do now. I spend a good portion of my mornings just praying for our missionary. We have 200 missionary women in our mission. And so during the week, I pray for each of these women and their ministry. I go and I see their country and why they love it. So I get to go do all these touristy things. But, you know, as we're traveling, we're talking and they're telling me this, their stories and stuff. It's just, really? How wonderful is this? I make sure that they're healthy, both spiritually, physically, and emotionally. So I'm asking them just some different questions. And then I just try to be an encouragement to them. So why do we have member care? This is a test that you can take. I know it's called the Holmes-Rosch Life Stress Inventory. I don't know, has anybody ever seen this before? Yeah, so you take it if you have a score of over 200, and if you can you sustain that score, then it's you can have major health issues. Well, sorry. Oop. I went ahead. You see, in the Holmes, this test, original study, they found, okay, 200 on the scale in a year, the cumulative stress would have consequences for some time to come. The typical missionary had not just been peaking levels above 300, they sustained levels over 300 year after year. And many missionaries, in fact, double that. So they have a lot of stress. And so it's just good to be able to care for them. So how can you care for your missionary? Of course, you can always pray for them. You can give. Writing an email or a note, man, you just don't know how wonderful it is to get a note from somebody just saying, hey, how are you? How can we be praying for you? And then they tell you what's going on in their lives because we want to know. We want to know. We want to be connected to the church here. Oh, I didn't mean to do that. Sending care packages is Christmas in July. We did get Christmas in July, 2 years when we were in Equatorial Guinea for our kids. We didn't get the packages until July. but like when we were in Uganda, when we were in Washington, you know, we were attending a church and they sent us, like, we got Starbucks like the whole time. Because, you know, Starbucks is on every corner in the Seattle area. We had Starbucks almost the whole year because people sent care packages to us. And just what a wonderful treat that was. And then if you can go visit, it's just such a joy. And then this is just how you can pray for your missionary. You can pray for the open doors for them. Did you know Pavel and Stanya? Okay. They are actually missionaries that the church that we attended together there, supporting them. And while I was in Europe seeing action missionaries, I went to go see them. And again, they cried when I came. We had a wonderful visit. So you can pray for open doors, just for their boldness, which I think we can all pray for that, right? That God's word will spread for protection, for travel, for protection in travel to and from countries and in country, in Africa. The number one death of missionaries was traffic accidents. So it's always good to pray for them. And, you know, in these developing countries, traffic is crazy. For an effective ministry, for refreshment, for an attitude of servanthood. Sometimes we think we can do it all, but we need to remember to be humble. Discipline and devotion life sometimes, and I'm sure you guys get like this too, we get busy, but we forget we have to spend that time in the Lord. Proficiency in the use of the language, because you can't tell the gospel to people if you don't know the language, right? Health and soul and body, understanding of culture, family, home life, and children, courage in danger, and for good team relationships. That's a good one, because did you know that the number one reason missionaries come back is other missionaries. So that's a really important one to pray for. So, again, he kind of already talked about mobilization. This was something I've been doing for the last 5 years as well. I was actually, until January, helping get women who wanted to go on a short-term trip, getting them on the field. But I also am on a team, we call it our candidate review committee, those that want to go long-term. I'm on that team. We look over their applications, their doctrinal statements, things like that, decide whether they need to get more training or whatever. So I'm also doing that as well. And then going to Seattle. Actually, I'm going to be going to Seattle in 2 weeks. We have an orientation every April and September. And I go and I teach language and culture acquisition because I've learned 3 different languages now. And then I also talk about spiritual warfare. So this is just a picture. I wanted to show you, look at the picture there on the right. I give them all a puzzle without a border or anything, and I have them try to get that puzzle together. And I said, this is what it's like to figure out a culture. You have no, you know, you don't have any idea what you're dealing with, but then you have to try to figure it out a lot of times. Just again, with 20 and 21, my ministry changed drastically because I wasn't traveling anymore. So what did I do with some of my downtime is I learned Portuguese because I was hoping to go to Brazil in 2020. It still hasn't happened. Maybe this year I'll go to 2020. We have some missionaries that only speak Portuguese, some women. And so I wanted to learn Portuguese. So I used, I don't know if you've ever heard of Duolingo, but I used Duolingo, got through the program. E agora eu falo português. Um pouco. But this was my ministry. Face, you know, on the computer. Zoom, WhatsApp, Messenger, whatever the woman wanted to use. I was on those different platforms, talking with women, checking in on them, things like that. Whether it was coaching, some of these, like this was a young lady going to the Philippines, and so I meet with her every month. How are you doing? What are you doing? How's your language learning going? Things like that. And then just encouraging them and praying for them. One of the other things that I've done in the last couple of years is, I'm not a counselor or anything, but I just have a heart for helping the missionaries, and so I took some different courses. This trauma healing, I don't know if you've ever heard of Trauma Healing Institute. But they are known now internationally. They started in Rwanda when they had the civil war in Rwanda and saw so much trauma with all the people. And the missionaries just said, we have to do something. And so they started this, and it's through the American Bible College. Many missionaries do this and help people with trauma. But I'm actually doing this in Waxahachie, having trauma groups with people. My vision is to take this to our missionaries, though, and train them so that they can be facilitators for the people that they work with. We work mostly with children that have had a lot of trauma, and so I really want to take this to them. That's what trauma care is all about. And then the other one was called Member Care Foundations. The guy in the left-hand corner, his name's Harry Hoffman, and he has a ministry where he helps us learn how to do better member care. Now it's over to Charles.
So last November, I got an opportunity to go to Sierra Leone, West Africa. And the reason I got involved with it was there was another missionary at Waxahachie that has been there for several years. And he's in the military. And he worked with Cadence International as a military chaplain. And so one of the things that he got connected with was there is he was like a sergeant in the army there at Fort Hood, who was from Sierra Leone, and he ended up being a pastor from Sierra Leone. And so when he got training, whenever he would get to go back, he would go back, and he has a church in Sierra Leone. So he invited Ken to go back with him for several years, and they would go, and they would be doing training to military chaplains, Bible training, helping them with different things. And so since COVID, they haven't got to go for several years. And when I was talking to Ken last at a missionary conference back in, I think it was like 2018, 2019, in October, I told him, hey, if you need somebody to go with you to Africa, let me know. He said, okay. So he writes me like in August, and he says, hey, you ready to go with me to Sierra Leone? I'm like, okay, let's go. Well, then, so then he says, but I need somebody to do some training. And I said, okay. So he said, I need somebody to train on your identity in Christ. I said, wow, that's a great subject. I'd love to train on that. And then he says, I need somebody to train on spiritual warfare. Okay, I've done a little bit of that, so I have to do some more study. So I did that. And then he said, I need somebody to train on suicide awareness. And I was like, wow, I've never really studied that as much, never really thought about it. And so these three subjects I had to really work on and do some training and some research, and God really taught me a lot through that. And so it was just amazing. So anyway, I went with him in November, and got a chance to, as you can see there in the upper picture, we're with the military chaplains, some of the guys that we trained. We did some services there, some training times, like I taught a session, Ken taught a session. Each one of those guys down there at the bottom, they all taught sessions every day for about 3 or 4 days, and it was just an amazing time. Then we had some breakout sessions, and this is the really amazing part. So in that bottom picture right there on the left, I wasn't really expecting this, but Ken said, also do some other breakout sessions. And so I was thinking I was going to teach on, like, how to tell your testimony, which is a really great lesson if you've never done that. I highly recommend it. Learn how to tell your testimony so when you get a chance to share the gospel. So I was going to do that, but then he said, and teach something about computers, because you know about computers. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know how I can teach, you know, 50, 100 people about computers in one 45-minute session. I'm like, so that was kind of very hard. So I thought, you know, what is something that people struggle with nowadays? And so I don't know how you guys might do this, but, you know, we have these smartphones now. And on these smartphones, we have these things called social media, right? And then social media and sharing things and all this kind of stuff. Well, you know, there's an addiction that comes with these things. And so I thought, you know, one of the things that I know people struggle with all over the world is addiction to social media or their phones or even other things. And so I thought, I'm going to teach about that. And so I did what we call a lesson on purity of technology, how to use your technology in a pure way. And so as you can see, that's just a small segment. There was actually more people around. There must have been like 100 people that came to that segment. And it was amazing. And we talked about, you know, what are some good practices that we can use in how we allow our children to use technology? What are some best practices we can use even for us? And it's really interesting because, you know, a lot of times now we're reading our Bible on technology and these kind of things, you know, and we're spending a lot of time on it. But how can we make it so that we're not getting addicted to these things? So that was a very interesting time with them, and they were really interested, and we learned a lot from each other about the uses and the problems. And they found out that they do have problems with this. And so after this session, I actually had two pastors come up to me that live in small villages in Sierra Leone. And they said, please come to our church and train our people on this, how to best use your technologies to not be addicted, because we have people in the villages that are dealing with this. I was like, wow, that's amazing. So God's put it on my heart to go back here this in September of this year. And I usually train on discipleship and church planting, but we're also going to do some sessions on technology. And so Pastor Peter there is one of my mentees now that I'm actually working with online. And he's holding a little box. I don't know if you can tell what it is, but it's a little box like this. And it's actually what they call a Raspberry Pi computer. And on that little computer, you can take it anywhere, like in a village in Africa. You can put it in a building. It runs off of a solar panel. On that little thing, it has a memory chip. On that memory chip, you can put like the Jesus film, a Bible, gospel lessons and books and ebooks that people can download to their phone. So interesting thing is we're trying to teach people not to be addicted to their phone, but yet we're using technology through their phone to teach them about the Bible. So there's good and bad in everything that we do. So we have to just use it in the right way. So anyway, there's a possibility to get them connected with technology that they can use in a way that helps them to grow in their walk with the Lord, and that's what we want to do.
So, Charles has really felt led that he wants to come back into full-time ministry, and so here's just some things that we're looking at possibly doing. We might go to Guatemala and do some ministration. That opportunity's been there, but it's probably maybe stall, we don't know. Possibly just staying in the USA and doing what we're doing. Charles just taking short-term trips and in leadership development and working IT virtually in the USA, and me continuing doing what I'm doing. Or we're thinking about going to Africa again, and we're looking at three different possible areas, Uganda and South Sudan, going back more northern Uganda. We really have a heart for those unreached people, so we're praying about maybe going more to North Africa. And then this opportunity in Mozambique has just showed up, which is amazing because now I know Portuguese, and in Mozambique they speak Portuguese. But I'm going to let Charles talk a little bit about more about that very quickly.
Yeah, so basically God basically directed us to this couple. His name is Isaias Uene, and he's a PhD, finishing up his PhD at Dallas Seminary. And just an amazing, he started this ministry in Mozambique several years ago. So it's a Bible college, a Bible school, a seminary. And so they need somebody there to do technology and to train their guys how to do technology. So it's really an amazing opportunity. We're really praying about this one because it looks like the place that God is directing us to. We really like it because in that section of Africa, Action, our ministry, our mission already has several works in South Africa, Malawi, Zambia, which all border Mozambique. And because Bridget is working with Member Care in working with single women missionaries that we have in those areas, it's really a great location. And plus, a lot of the Member Care that she does is in that side of the world, and so it's a really good time frame for that. But also, it gives me a chance to not only work in technology, and I love working with technology that helps to develop church leadership, but also we'll get a chance to disciple some of the students there and also do some spiritual formation and maybe even teach some classes. And so those are some things that we're really praying about. But that's what we would ask you to pray for us, is that God would lead us in the right direction. But this one is looking very strong. And so we're hoping to make a trip there the beginning of next year, a vision trip. The guy, Isaias, he's like, I was praying for somebody like you guys, so we're really feeling like God is directing us there. So that's probably where we're going to end up going.
And just again, I'm going to show you this next one. So here's our family. And the little girl on the right is one of the reasons I've really been fighting going back overseas. I've really connected with our granddaughter. I get to see her 2 times a week. And I was telling the Lord, you're going to have to do something where maybe I can come every year back home. And at a Bible college, you know, they get a couple months off so we could come back here every year and see her. But of course, with technology, you can always do, you know, FaceTime or any of those things. So anyway, we are praying. But there's our family. We did that in the spring. But that's a picture of Aria just taken yesterday. That's my granddaughter. So again, just some prayers. Just as I continue doing trauma healing and getting my training for that. As I'm going to orientation in a couple weeks, I'm going to be going to Honduras to do member care May 8th through 15th for a couple there in Honduras. And then in Spain in June to take one of the missionaries you saw in there, I'm gonna go help her. She's actually coming back from, she's retiring basically and coming back to the United States, and she wants me to come help her pack. You can pray for Charles's trip to Sierra Leone. Just again, wisdom as we look at next steps. You can pray for our children and our grandchildren to know, serve, and love Jesus. Some of them are not walking right now. You can always pray for untrained pastors and for missionaries going through trauma, which we've had quite a few of them, like this lady I was telling about, Lisa. I plan to do some trauma, you know, talking with her about some of the trauma she's experienced in the last month or two. So those are our main prayers. And so thank you. That's in Ecuador. At Quito.
Did you catch the two of the words he said there in the presentation between the two of them? Suicide. Suicide. How many people are dying? Not from other people killing them, but from their own hand. This coronavirus has been pretty devastating in a lot of communities. One of the other things they mentioned were the number one problem for missionaries is what? Other missionaries. when we were in Waxahachie, I don't know if Charles and their son went on the mission trip that I took my two of my older boys with down to Mexico, and we were working to build a church building and doing the cinder brick walls for this church. And my boys and I are, I'm a little bit proficient in construction because I've lived in it my whole life. I built this wall, cinder block wall, with my boys, and it was perfect. It was immaculate. And we came back the next day, and the missionary in charge of the project had knocked the wall down and was tearing it apart. And the Mexican workers came up and met us at the gate, and they just apologized for the missionary that was directing the project that was tearing our work apart. So when they say the major problem on the mission field is other missionaries, there's a lot of truth to that. Now, we have gone way over. Thank you for your patience. We still have one more thing to do, and that's welcome some new members. Can I do that real quickly? What I would like to do is